Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
As we ride along this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, the creosote's still wet. There's still moisture in the ground. It still smells beautiful like no other place on earth. And this is the 7 o'clock hour of Rosie on the House, where we talk interesting Arizona people, places, and things. And today, kind of going off of our topic last week in the 7 o'clock hour, it's water. Last week, we talked about what happens to the ground when we get 4 inches of rain in Arizona. And but we're going to talk about the ongoing water issue of Arizona. I don't think if you've wound backwards to, let's say, when the Anasazis were here, they ever thought there'd be 6 million people in the state of Arizona. And water is obviously critical and vital to everyone, but something we don't think about a lot. And to talk water this Saturday, we've got two special guests in. First, we're going to introduce Sarah Porter, director for the Kyle Center for Water Policy, Morrison Institute for Public Policy at Arizona State University. Did I get that all correct?
You did. I'm sorry I have such a long title.
You need to, like, what's that? Shield. You need to get, like, the Marvel comics to get you some superhero shortened title to that.
I'll work on that.
What does the director at the Kyle Center for Water Policy at the Morrison Institute for Public Policy do on a daily basis?
Well, we really focus on water policy and where our mission is to help inform public discussions of water issues that get us to good stewardship solutions. So we're looking at water policy, we're working on getting people involved in the discussion about water policy, and trying to bring in facts and historical context that will enable people to have good discussions that get to good solutions.
Now, I can't even imagine how many people are involved in that. You've got the CAP, you've got private well owners, you've got Phelps Dodge, you have Farm Bureau. There isn't anybody that's not affected by this. So you're trying to please 6 million people with 6 million individual interests.
Yeah, you could look at it that way, or you could also look at it to say that we don't really have a stake in pleasing anyone. You know, we have a role of trying to bring out facts that aren't necessarily always apparent to people. And I'm a lawyer. We're heavy on lawyers. Lawyers like to think about how law affects how things work. And so we have some skills there. And we're really trying hard not so much to please people as to make sure that people have information they need, data about water, information about how policies work, how water rights work, and also I think it's really important to remember the historical context for Arizona. Water has really been the story of our state's history, and we need to keep that in mind when we're talking about future water problems or water challenges.
And to talk a little bit about projected problems that could come along, we've got Stephanie Smallhouse from the current president of the Arizona Farm Bureau. And your president before you, Kevin Rogers, Steph, has said something I quote all the time on this program when it comes up, that Arizona's done a really good job with water because we had to create a solution. Places like California, where half the time, you know, you've got dry crops where it's just relied on rainwater and there's an abundance of water. They didn't think about it. Now that they're in a drought problem, they've got no infrastructure, but we had to do an infrastructure. So we're pretty well as we've got a good infrastructure for our water.
Yeah. I think that, and you know, first let me say that with Sarah here, I really appreciate that because Sarah's organization brings sort of the think tank that kind of reminds all of us, are we thinking about these issues from certain perspectives and provides that information. Farm Bureau basically brings to the table those people on the ground that are living the situation. And, you know, certainly we have done a lot of planning in Arizona for the water situation, and we have multiple, you know, we have the 1980 Groundwater Management Act, we have the 2007 drought guidelines, we have all these things in place. But you can never really know what the impact's going to be until it's at your front door and you're having to decide where the water's going to go. And so right now we're kind of at that place where we have to take the next step in planning and decide, okay, if there are going to be reductions because of impending things that are going to happen to the lake, how are those reductions going to be taken? And can we share in those reductions, or is one segment going to fill that reduction more than another?
And what happens, what's step one rationing?
Sarah?
Well, there is a proposal that is under discussion now for Arizona to take cuts at certain levels of Lake Mead. If Lake Mead declines to certain levels, and there is not yet in place an agreement as to how those cuts would be shared. Right now, if we just let the existing agreements, and there's a whole history of them, occur, and Arizona decided to participate in this proposal without any other agreements, the hit would go mostly to Central Arizona agriculture. So that's agriculture that is on the CAP system. And we're talking about Lake Mead, which is the reservoir that holds the Colorado River water that Arizona and California and Nevada and Mexico share. So if the levels of Lake Mead keep going down, there's an agreement from 2007 that says at different levels, Arizona takes bigger and bigger cuts. Nevada also takes cuts, and Mexico takes cuts. Now there's this new proposal that would mean that Arizona would take bigger cuts, and California agrees to cuts at a certain level, and Mexico takes cuts, Nevada takes cuts. And if that agreement, which is called the Drought Contingency Proposal, or DCP, goes into effect, then the cuts at different levels would be larger, and they might impact more than just agriculture. That's all to say there are ongoing negotiations that are aiming to share the impact so they don't all go to that one group of low priority users on the CAP system.
And it's interesting that agriculture is the lowest priority, which seems sort of strange.
Because the CAP was, the biggest intent was for agriculture originally.
I think that the CAP, when it was envisioned and came to fruition, was planning for groundwater pumping and how that was going to impact, you know, great regions of the state. But the role that farmers have played in bringing the CAP and things like the Salt River Project, farmers were instrumental in both of those projects, which now provide most of the water and even some energy for a great portion of the state. And so then to get to where we are in 2018 and see that a portion of the economy and this industry that was so instrumental in bringing this infrastructure here, you know, some farmers put their farms up for collateral for the Salt River Project. And when it comes to the CAP, you know, in certain negotiations, farmers relinquished some of their rights in order to secure water further into 2030. And so in both of those instances, you have a certain industry that kind of provided certainty years ago for everyone else, but now today has a very uncertain future because of their priority in the system. And so, as Sarah said, with a tier one cut, which is the Lake Mead falling below 1075, under the current planning process of the drought contingency plan, if nothing were different, Pinal Agriculture, all the agriculture in Pinal County serviced off of the CAP would lose all of their water. And Pinal Agriculture is about 25% of ag sales in Arizona. And we also, the livestock sector, which is the largest sector of agriculture in Arizona, is almost completely dependent upon all of that production that comes out of Pinal. And so it's really an issue that is very huge for all of agriculture in Arizona.
The snowball effect that just continues to compound after that.
But I would like to get back to something you said earlier, and it's not quite accurate to say that CAP was developed or brought in here for agriculture. Totally agree with Stephanie that agriculture has been quite instrumental in making CAP viable. But when CAP, when the project was envisioned, there was an idea that we were going to grow cities in Central Arizona, and we needed a big supply of water for the cities. Cities got in when the water was allocated and got allocations. not too long after that, there was an awareness that Arizona needed a supply of water for tribal settlements because there were numerous, over 20 tribes who were asserting water claims. And so CAP wasn't developed in the way that SRP was certainly developed for agriculture in 1910, 1912. CAP was developed with this idea that we would have farms, and then at some point, some of those farms would give way to urbanization. And a lot of that has happened. If you look at the amount of water that agriculture is using in Arizona, as a percentage of the statewide water use, it's gone from being almost 100% of the water used in Arizona to now being about just under close to two-thirds of the water. That's because, in part because agriculture has gotten a lot more efficient, but it's also because some agriculture, especially in the Phoenix area, has given way to urbanization. And that was in mind in the early 70s when the CAP was being put into place. Cities got allocations of water. What was really important was that we needed users at the time who could use the water and pay for it. And that wasn't cities at the time because they didn't have that many water users. And so cities turned to agriculture and said, you know, we need you to use this new supply of water that we're bringing in that's much more expensive than all the other water supplies.
So Salt River Project started in 1910. When did Central Arizona come in?
The first delivery, the very first delivery was in 1985. It took decades to get it. We had to win a U.S. Supreme Court fight with California in 1963. We had to get financing in Congress in the 70s. We had to form a three-county water district. You know, it took decades to make it happen.
Started delivering in 1985. Mm-hmm. How long was that designed to last for, and what's the next development? We had the CAP, or the SRP, and then CAP. Is there another development mm-hmm. we're looking at? We'll talk about that right after the break here at Rosie on the House with you every Saturday morning.